Father in heaven, Lord God, we thank you and praise you, dear Lord God, for yet another day that you have allowed us to see. Thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father, Lord God, for just blessing us continually, over and over and time again. Thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father, Lord God, for a time and season, Lord God, where we can reflect on what Jesus did for us and for all of humanity. And Lord God, I just give your name the praise and the glory. And thank you, dear Lord God, that you just look beyond all of our faults and you saw our need. Thank you, dear Lord God, that you saw that we were in need of a Savior. And Father in heaven, we just lift you up, Lord God, because you are worthy of all the praise and all of the glory that's due unto your holy name. And Lord God, I pray as I come before you on today, Lord God, that you would bless everyone who's listening and everyone, Lord God, who is in attendance. Lord God, touch every heart and touch every mind. And I know, Father in heaven, Lord God, that sometimes during this time of year, people's hearts are saddened, Lord God, by their loved ones who's no longer here to celebrate with them. But I pray, dear Lord God, that you would comfort their hearts and let them know, Lord God, that you are greater. And Lord God, even though, Lord God, mother or father may not be here, even though sister or brother may not be here, even though, Lord God, we may have lost family members and friends, you are Emmanuel, God who is with us, who promised to never leave us nor forsake us. And we thank you, dear Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that we're able, Lord God, to be comforted in that, Lord Jesus, that you are with us. And I pray, Lord God, in Jesus' name, that you will remember every family member represented in, oh God, on today. And Lord God, just keep them encouraged. Keep them with a mind and a will, Lord God, to do. And Lord God, we thank and praise you for your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Hallelujah. Lord God, and I pray that you bless us as we go forward in your word. Lord God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart will be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. To God be the glory for the great things that he has done. And certainly thank and praise God for his wonderful mercies that he's shown each and every one of us. Thank God for his faithfulness. I thank God personally for forgiveness every day. Because sometimes when you look and assess, take a look and assess your life, you can see where you fall short if you're honest with yourself. And sometimes, you know, we have to be real and just say, Father, forgive me. You know, I didn't always do everything that was right in your sight. Or, Lord, I said some things today I should not have said. You know, God, forgive me. And I praise God that we have forgiveness through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we should never be too proud to say, Lord, I'm sorry. Or, Lord, I'm not altogether lovely. He already knows that. You know, and as my mother, she oftentimes say that the Lord loves honesty. Amen. And, you know, sometimes we have to be real with ourselves and say, you know what? I'm not where I should be. But, Lord God, help me to get there. Praise God. And I just thank God on today. I greet you in love. And in our precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and I pray that all is well with you and your family and your household. Praise God. And today we're going to begin the first of a three-part message series, which I thought would be appropriate for this time of year. And it's regarding the circumstances leading up to the birth of Christ. And these will be considered Advent teachings. And what is meant by Advent is the period beginning 4 Sundays before Christmas and observed by some Christians as a season of prayer and fasting. Although this time of year is known to believers and unbelievers alike as Christmas season, sometimes the central theme and the purpose for the celebration is overshadowed by the commercial aspect. The Christmas season, as it is so called, is starting earlier and earlier. And I recall when I was a little girl that we didn't see Christmas decorations in the stores or Christmas trees in the stores until December. But now it's moved to November and it's starting in October. And now there's something called Christmas in July. So this is commercialism at its best. But we must not forget that Jesus is the reason for the season. December 25th is a day that was set aside to commemorate the birth of Christ, or among some Eastern Orthodox Christians, January 7th is their day of celebration. So while we enjoy exchanging gifts, let us not forget that Jesus Christ is the greatest gift that God gave to humanity. And I'm not the kind of preacher that condemn people for participating in gift giving. Giving is a good thing. And as it says in the scriptures, it is more blessed to give than to receive. But if you feel that you have to max out your credit cards or get in debt for the sake of a day, then you have the wrong concept. Instead of giving your all just to please others, why not give Jesus the best gift that you can give him, which is your heart, mind, body, and soul? In the first part of this series, we're going to talk about the Annunciation. Our main scripture text will be found in the book of Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 33. In scripture, the Annunciation refers to an announcement made by the angel Gabriel to the Virgin Mary that she would be the mother of the Savior, or in other words, Messiah. She was the first to receive and believe that God would fulfill the promise that he made to the world. Allow me first to revisit biblical history and bring us up to this point. We find that the Lord had built his case from Genesis to Malachi as to why we needed a Savior. Every generation after Adam progressively worsened. And as for Israel, although the law was given by Moses, and they were to adhere to the strict guidelines as instructed, the people were in constant violation of the law. The true intent of the law was to condemn every action that was contrary to the holiness of God. The ordinances that God gave was for the purpose of governing the social life of Israel and also ceremonial worship. But inadvertently, the law also brought the knowledge or the awareness of sin. It was a schoolmaster that taught people concerning what was good or evil in the sight of God. But Hebrews chapter 7 and 19 gives us to know, for the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. It was a substitute until that which is perfect come. In the gospel according to Luke chapter 1, we learn that prior to Mary's visitation with the angel Gabriel, that he also visited a certain priest named Zacharias, who was also the husband of Elizabeth, Mary's cousin. The Bible says, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child because Elizabeth was barren. And they were now well stricken in years. During the time that Zacharias executed the priest's office, they appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. The Bible says, and when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. This Gabriel spoke concerning John the Baptist, also known as the forerunner of Christ. If we look back in Jewish history, we find that at the close of the book of Malachi, there was a drought of the word of God for nearly 400 years. The series or succession of prophets ceased in the land. But before the book was sealed, a promise of the Messiah and his forerunner was foretold. Malachi chapter 3 verse 1 reads, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. As the narrative continues in Luke chapter 1, after hearing from Gabriel, it was incomprehensible to Zechariah how this could be accomplished. As we mere mortals tend to do when it comes to the issues of life, we tend to see things with a natural eye. So Zacharias' response, in his response, he pointed out what was obvious. In Luke chapter 1:18, it reads, and Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And as previously mentioned, Elizabeth was also barren. But I would like to point out that in Scripture, God has demonstrated his ability to bring forth greatness from barrenness. Abraham's wife Sarah was barren. But through her, God brought forth Isaac, the seed of promise. Jacob's wife Rachel was barren, but through her God brought forth Joseph, whom some consider to be a type of Christ, because he was used of God to sustain life and to save the lives of many people during a grievous 7-year famine. Hannah, the wife of Elkanah was barren, but through her God brought forth Samuel, a faithful priest, prophet, and judge that did according to all that God commanded him to do. And then there was Manoah's wife, which was a figure in the Bible not mentioned by name, but she was also barren. And through her, God brought forth Samson, a mighty man who delivered Israel from the hands of the Philistines. So what does this tell us? Everything that appears to be dried up is not dried up and unusable in the eyes of God. He is the life giver, and he has the power to bring forth life out of a dead situation. And if there's anybody that know what I'm talking about, you ought to say amen. Because we were dead because of sin and could have died in our sins. But God said, live. He called us forth from dead situations. And as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the children of God. Before the Lord came into our lives, we were barren and broken and in a state of disrepair. But when we cried unto the Lord, he inclined his ear and he heard our cry. He sent his word and he healed us and delivered us from destruction. When we thought we were going under for the last time, then came the word of the Lord saying that ye shall not die but live to declare the works of the Lord. You may have been barren, but from barrenness God brought forth greatness. Amen. As in the case of Zechariah, sometimes we fail to fully comprehend the greatness of God. And in doing so, we tend to reduce his ability to the finite ability of a mere man that he created. But God is infinite. He has no limits and no boundaries. And as Jesus said, with men, it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. Continuing on in our lesson, the Bible says, starting at Luke chapter 1, verse 26, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. What is known of Mary is that she was of the tribe of Judah and of the lineage of David. She is portrayed in Scripture as the most tender, faithful, patient, loving, and humble among women. She was a pure, unspotted virgin, espoused at the time to one who was of the same royal stock, and she was of low estate, the Lord chose Mary to be the mother of the Messiah. And as God would have it, he was not to be born by ordinary means, but his birth had to be miraculous in nature. Now, can you imagine being chosen for such a task? She was highly favored because out of all of the women in the world, God chose her. And the honor that was bestowed upon her can never be given to another, whether past, present, or future generations. She is honored above Eve, who was the mother of all living. Eve may have been the mother of all the living, but Mary carried in her womb Jesus Christ, Savior of the world. This announcement that she heard was good news, which did not come from the earth beneath. It came from heaven above. The Word of God gives us to know that Mary was troubled at these sayings and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." Verse 31 reads, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Now this goes down in history as the best gender reveal ever. Praise God. And the greatest announcement that through her, God was going to bring forth and introduce his only begotten son into the world. The song says, "Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing." Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're talking about God's only begotten Son. Thank God for this announcement. Now, I'm sure that what Mary was troubled about is the fact that she was espoused, which means she was engaged to be married. And here God is saying, "You're going to bring forth a son." And she's wondering, well, I'm wondering how God is going to pull this off. What are people going to think about me? But again, sometimes we see things, or have a carnal understanding without fully understanding the greatness of God. And the angel had to remind her as well, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. So we're going to stop right here, and we're going to continue on the next Advent message, part two, on the next time we come together. And just to remind you what we talked about today, in part one, it was the Annunciation, the announcement. In part two, we're going to continue on and talk about the conception and the birth of Christ. So I just want to say to you, may God bless you all. And remember that Jesus is the reason for the season. You may not have a gift to give. You may not receive any gifts. But remember that God gave us the greatest gift that He can possibly give us, which is His Son. And the greatest gift that we can give back to God is ourselves. May God bless you and heaven smile upon you this wonderful day. Amen. Amen and amen.